This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Folks, we're very fortunate to have Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust, join us every Monday at this hour, and he does so again today. Guy, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Good to be with you.
Guy, I don't even really know where to start about what's going on in D.C. I'll leave that to you. So let's talk about some of the issues that are going on. I mean, there's so many different moving targets there. I'm having trouble, you know, just keep a track of it all.
Yeah, we'll get to the Fed last because they're the clearest of the bunch, but even right, that's not super clear. But let's start on the legislative side. You know, everybody looks in December and you see the Christmas lights are up and it's time to go to some Christmas parties and be with relatives. In Washington, the representatives also want to get out of town, but they have jammed themselves up with an unbelievable number of bills that they're trying to get handled before year end. Now, there's one that's really critical. It's called the National Defense Authorization Act. This is a big deal because we actually need an Air Force, an Army, and a Navy. It, you know, people on both sides of the aisle agree. It has gotten hung up in all the other bills, but that is what they call a must-pass bill. I mean, you just have to keep paying the soldiers, sailors, and airmen that are putting themselves in harm's way. So that has not been passed yet, but it has to be. I mean, that's just essential. The debt limit is another deal. That is supposedly a December 15th crisis item. Now, there's been a lot of crying wolf on the debt limit, so people don't really know if it's really the 15th or if it's closer to the 30th. And there's a lot of confusion about the debt limit. It doesn't mean the U.S. will default on its debts, any more than a person who gets laid off means that automatically they're going to default on their mortgage. It just means you can't pay everything you want to. So if the debt limit is not passed, Congress can't borrow any more money. They have to live within their means. Now, Janet Yellen, in another context, before she was in the administration, said, of course, we'll always pay the interest on the debt. We're not going to default on the debt. Now it's a little more of a political scare tactic. We can't afford to default on debt. But what it really means is you can't pay every bill that Congress voted to pay for if they don't raise the debt limit. That presents a problem. Chuck Schumer put himself in a box with the Build Back Better. We want to get that done before Christmas. So you've got all of these bills coming up, defense authorization that just has to be paid because you have to pay the soldiers and sailors, debt limit that probably has to be done within the next two to three weeks, Build Back Better. Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin have said, you know, why don't we look at that next year and take a little bit of time off? So that's where they are. A lot of confusion and a lot of bickering.
What seems to be the issue with the National Defense Authorization Act? Because I keep hearing that there's these little nuggets that the Democrats have kind of put in there that's problematic for the Republicans.
Well, there are a couple of things. There's always, and it really wish it wouldn't come up, but you have different issues with funding abortion overseas, and that's pretty much a poison pill for a lot of Republicans. There's also an issue on the Republican side where they want to vote to penalize China for using slave labor. And, I mean, that's probably a good idea. I don't think anybody should use slave labor, but neither one of those things should be in the defense bill. So both sides are doing a little political tug of war because it's a must-pass bill. So each one tries to get a little bit of something special that they want in the bill.
So once again, we end up with these issues that are not germane to just simply the financing of the Defense Department, right?
Right. And yeah, it doesn't have anything to do with the Defense Department. It's more about, okay, we have leverage. And of course, when you have very little time, it's easy to jam everything up. One of the things that is going on in the background is McConnell has said to Schumer, he wants him to use reconciliation to pass the debt limit. And he has a reasonable basis for that. The reasonable basis is when the shoe was on the other foot and the Republicans were in the majority, Joe Biden said, and Chuck Schumer said, we want to increase the debt limit, but we're going to vote no, so you have to do it yourself. It's up to you. So turnabout is fair play. McConnell saying, okay, you made us do it all by ourselves, including President Biden, who wrote a letter saying, look, you have to do it. So, and you think, okay, well, why is that a big deal? It's a big deal because if you have to do it by yourself, they have what's called a votorama, where every senator can introduce a bill and it has to be voted up and down. So whatever bill you have, you know, for example, someone from Louisiana might say, we're going to put a cap of 5% on increases in flood insurance. Well, that's very popular here, very popular in a lot of coastal states, but it would make every senator vote on that bill. And so with a very tough midterm coming up, Chuck Schumer does not want to have what's called a votorama. He doesn't want to have people making very tough votes. And, you know, citizens might say, well, that's sort of what we elected him for, is to take tough votes. But that's the behind-the-scenes fight that's going on the debt ceiling.
You know, what's interesting to me is that we as the taxpayers, all of these games are being played up there. And as politically astute as I think that I am sometimes, you learn these little tidbits all the time and you just kind of scratch your head and said, how did we end up in this completely bastardized environment?
Well, you know, it's easy to look back nostalgically. You know, rest in peace, Bob Dole, great American war hero, passed away. And people say, well, it was different back in those days. It wasn't different. We weren't aware of it because we didn't have social media, but it's probably a little more partisan now, but certainly it was very partisan during the Civil War. And I think part of it is both teams like to play the game hard. Redistricting has put a lot of people in safe districts so they don't have to compromise. If you're in a district that's 50-50 or 55-45, you really have to listen to the other side. If you're in a district that is overwhelmingly right or left, you really don't care because you're going to get reelected. It's interesting. There actually were three different bills introduced to get rid of the continuing resolution on the funding the government. And I forgot to even mention that one. That did get approved and extended till February 19th. That's the infamous government shutdown bill, not to be confused with the debt ceiling bill. And as you say, sometimes it gets confusing. Debt ceiling just means you can't borrow more money. Government funding means only critical funding can be done until it's extended. But Senator Warner proposed a bill and said, look, there's going to be an automatic 120-day extension. It's just going to be a rolling extension so that we won't ever have a government shutdown bill. Senator Portman said, I like that, but he introduced one and said it's a rolling 120 days, but every 120 days, the amount's going to be reduced by 1%. And I sort of like that. That puts a little pressure.
I like that.
Yeah. The one I like the most, though, is Senator Lankford, and his bill said there's going to be an automatic 30-day rolling extension, but during the extension, there will be no travel budget for the White House, Congress, or their staffs. And if you're not in D.C. every working day to take a vote, you don't get paid.
I like
and
that
I thought,
even
you
more.
Know, Yeah, that's sort of my favorite. Well, guess what? None of these three ever got a floor vote. But yeah, I love the one. Hey, nobody travels. You have to stay and do your job.
Exactly. I mean, what's more important than funding the government, right? What's more important than managing the debt limit? And what's more important than the National Defense Authorization Act when you're talking about homeland security and the security of the taxpaying public? You know, if you can't resolve that, why did we hire you?
Yeah, what are you doing in D.C.? You were hired to do the right thing. And, you know, the tough thing, though, when you go up to D.C. and you talk to people one-on-one, there are a lot of good people up there.
Oh, sure.
But they do get wrapped up in this partisan mix, and then you also get pushed real hard to vote with your team. Whichever team you're on, you get pushed very, very hard. No, you got to take one for the team.
Guy, as we look at what Yellen had said before, which I thought was very interesting. I remember the comment where she said, we will always pay the interest. Of course, now it's different because we've got the Build Back Better bill on the landscape. And obviously, if they can't fund any of that's going to be passed. What have you found any nuggets within Build Back Better that you find very interesting?
Well, there are a couple. One is, there are two different credits for electric vehicles. One, if you're building an electric vehicle with union labor, you get twice the tax credit. That seems a little unfair to the non-unionized plants in places like Alabama and North Carolina and Georgia. But that's stuck in the bill. One that was really intriguing is right now you can only deduct $10,000 of state and local taxes. That deduction is going to go up to $80,000. Well, you know, usually the people that have big state and local tax deductions tend to be higher income. They also tend to be kind of West Coast. So it's a little tax bonus for people on the East and West Coast. And that's actually talking about reducing taxes, not increasing taxes.
So we've talked about what's referred to as SALT, state and local tax exemption. Obviously, it was capped under the Trump administration. What are taxpayers actually legally allowed to write off when we say state and local taxes? Property taxes being one, right?
The only two are income taxes and property taxes.
And because
so
I've
for
had
an
folks
individual,
tell me that you could actually write sales taxes off. Is that true or not?
No, that went away back in the Reagan administration.
Okay, so you couldn't
sales tax
itemize, you know, like a motor vehicle tax, you know, where you're paying a lot of money on taxes for big purchases. So that's not allowed any longer.
No, that's not. And that hasn't been allowed for a long time.
So when we think about states like us, we just passed the reduction in the state income tax here. That works against us on SALT. We don't maximize any of that, right?
And well, it does and it doesn't. The bill actually was a revenue neutral to most people. Because what it did is it reduced the income tax rate, and it meant that on the state, only for the state level, you can't deduct your federal income tax.
Right.
So it traded one deduction for a lower rate. And one of the reasons that they did it is, first, there are only two states that allowed that. And second, it really made the state hostage to federal tax policy. So if the federal income tax went up, state of Louisiana tax revenue would automatically go down. So it put us in a tough situation of not controlling our own destiny. So I was actually in favor of that. I thought it was a move toward a little better transparency and a little better government.
So corporations under SALT, they're impacted by this as well. I mean, they get the benefit of this exemption.
No, the SALT is only individuals.
Only individual. Okay.
Only individuals.
And I wanted to make sure.
One of the things, I mean, you know, Florida's sort of fond of it because it makes it very expensive to live in New York. In addition to every other reason, it's going to be cheaper for me to move to Florida. So people have moved and left the high tax states behind. I don't think that's the only reason, but it certainly is one more reason that people move away from places like California and New York.
So, like, when Manhattan passes these luxury taxes on these penthouses and stuff, none of that, does that fall in the category of property tax? Specialty taxes that come up, you know, where they refer to them as luxury taxes.
Yeah, and that's been done in a couple of localities where you're trying to target the out-of-town billionaire because they're never particularly popular and they don't, you know, they're only one or two votes. But I remember vividly, do you remember Bill Jefferson?
Yeah.
Okay. So I was in Congressman Jefferson's office one day, and the way things worked out, other people had other meetings, and it's just the two of us. So I'm sitting there talking, and I knew him pretty well. I knew his family. I said, well, you know, Bill, what's up? He said, you know, we thought that we had you, but it didn't work. I said, what are you talking about? And this was the tax on boats. He said, we raised a tax on boats and entertainment. And the idea was, we're going to get all of you rich guys to pay this tax. And therefore, we'll have free money and all the people that I'm trying to represent will be better off. But what happened is you guys started, and he's looking at me. I'm the only one in the office. I said, Bill, I haven't bought a boat lately. He said, no, but all of you rich guys started buying boats overseas, and my people lost their jobs at Trinity Industries refurbishing boats in New Orleans. And the same thing with the business entertainment. I thought it was going to whack y'all. My people lost their jobs. So he said, you know, we thought we were aiming at you, and we hit ourselves. And yeah. I said, well, I guess you're going to announce this publicly. And he said, there's not a chance in the world, and I'll deny that I said it. So, you know, maybe he will, but it was a rare moment of truth and transparency in D.C. When you try and target a group, it often doesn't accomplish what you think it should or what you want it to.
Well, and they don't spend as much time connecting the dots as to what the downstream implications are going to be, right? They're
right.
Only looking on the most overt side of the piece of the legislation, but they don't understand there's a lot of stuff covertly that.
Oh yeah, and there are a lot of moving parts, and you know the moving parts are there an awful lot of workers involved in different industries. You have to be very careful. You know, government has more potential to harm than to help.
Right.
It's easier to make things worse than better.
All righty. We got to get to a break. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We're visiting with Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. If there's a question that you have, give us a shout or send us a text. We'll get it asked. We'll be right back after the break. This is Newell on
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
We're back. We're visiting with Guy Williams, President of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Let's go to Bill on line one. Bill, you're on with Guy Williams.
Yes, I had a question. You know how they talk about raising the debt ceiling. How would that relate to a household budget? What would a household budget have to do to raise the debt ceiling?
Well, I think the easiest way would be to think about the conversations you and your wife have. You know, we got to the point after a lot of years where we didn't have mortgage debt. And my wife had a project she wanted to do, and it was a renovation of the kitchen. And she said, you know, we can borrow the money and do it right now. You know you're going to get a bonus in December. We'll pay off at the bonus. And I really didn't want to do it. And it basically, you know, didn't want to do it so much that I finally dug in my heels and said, Dale, you know, we worked all these years to get out of debt. Let's just wait. And so we didn't borrow the money. We waited, and we got it done later. So it means that you just have to defer some things. And in Congress's arithmetic, part of the problem is Congress appropriates more spending than they provide revenue for. Right now, we're running about a 12.5% deficit. So in order to balance the books, you'd have to cut spending about 12.5% across the board. And you can never cut it across the board because there are things like electric bills that have to be paid, you know, salaries for soldiers have to be paid. So you've got to cut the discretionary things by more. So that does that make it clearer?
Yes. I couldn't understand, you know, what they were trying to accomplish, but so you could borrow more than what you anticipate making.
And you borrow more than you have in revenue.
Like, yeah, Congress really don't have a balanced spend budget. More than they take in tax revenue. Now, tax revenue is way up. You know, sales taxes went up throughout COVID. Income taxes are up. So Congress has more money, but they want to spend even more. And that's the desire, is wanting to spend more than you take in.
I got you. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome.
Guy, I got a text here from someone who says they're an accountant about this tax loophole if you buy a boat overseas. You weren't saying that there was a tax loophole.
No, I was saying people were, particularly at the very wealthiest people, were never bringing their boats to the U.S. They'd have an overseas corporation that would own the boat. The boat would never see the U.S., so it would never pay the luxury tax on U.S. boats.
Right.
So that's what I was talking about. And obviously that only applies at the high end. You can't do that with your sport fishermen.
Right. And so when you go to these places and you can rent boats, they're all outside of U.S. held territories for a reason, because you're investing in a group and you're not acting on your percentage of ownership in that vessel, right?
Yeah, and there was also an effect in Florida because, you know, you can go to the Florida Keys and charter a boat and use it for a week and then you bring it back. It became much more efficient for the charter boats to be located in the Bahamas, which are just a few miles away, because they weren't paying the extra tax. So that was a problem. And it really hurt the U.S. boat building business.
Right. Yeah, I didn't think it was a tax loophole you were talking about. So it's just the manner in which you're taxed. Sean, say again. All right, we have Chris in Mandeville on the line. Chris, you're on with Guy Williams.
Hey, thanks a lot. I heard you guys talking about taxes a little while ago. And I look at Louisiana, and the fact that our economy, I believe, in the last 5 or 6 years since John Bel Edwards got to be governor especially, is the worst or one of the top five worst economies in the country, even at times when the economies were booming. And it seems pretty simple as to why our economy is the way it is, and it's been this way for a long time. We have big government, high taxes, horrible legal climate, and we're anti-business just in a general sense. Our taxes, even our overall tax burden, you hear this, is average or low. We have the worst. For instance, our income tax is very high. It's one of the most growth-destroying taxes you can have. And, of course, you guys probably know about all these inventory. I mean, why do people continue to vote for these people like John Bel Edwards who are just doing horribly?
Well, let's go back to, for Louisiana, the real beginning was UEP Long. And
I agree.
We've had a bit of a messed up tax situation for quite a while. The three fastest growing states in the South are Tennessee, Texas, and Florida, all with no income tax. And we are moving in the right direction. We did take one small step, so now we have lower tax rates. And, you know, our income tax rate is comparable with Alabama, which is doing real well. So we are beginning to make some progress. But we had a challenge, and it's an interesting challenge. Economists call it the curse of wealth. And what they mean by that is if you have a lot of natural resources, in our case it was oil and gas and to a lesser extent fisheries, you don't actually have to tax the people. You're able to just tax extraction. You think about countries in Africa and the Middle East that just rely on taxing the wealth of natural resources. Well, when you do that, you think, okay, this is great. We use it for good purposes, but governments never do. They always spend it badly. And the result is because the citizens aren't really involved in paying for the government, they don't tend to get involved. So you have disinterested citizens. And if you look at places with no resources where they've just had to, you know, fight and scrap, they tend to do a lot better. And so that curse of resources is one of the challenges. We sometimes say Louisiana's a poor state. We're the opposite. We're a rich state. We've got the Mississippi River, which is why the port city of New Orleans is here. We've got oil and gas. We've got the fisheries. You know, we have really good timber and other things. So for years, citizens didn't have to get involved in government, and they didn't really care much. It was entertaining. You go back to the Edwin Edwards era. You know, we liked the jokes and the stories, and we didn't much care about the fact that we weren't getting good government. So we can't lay it all on John Bel Edwards. It's been a team effort through the years, starting with Huey Long, but the voters are also responsible.
I agree. But yeah, John Bel Edwards just made it worse.
How?
He's increased spending, increased taxes, increased welfare, hasn't done much, fought any kind of tort reform, although eventually signed it. For anyone to sit there and say, we had better growth under Bobby Jindal when the price of oil was dropping like a stone. Our economy should have been booming. Prices of oil went up when he first got in the office. And everything he's another Edwin Edwards. I mean, I don't understand why people can't see that. You increase the size of government, the energy of government, and increase taxes, you're going to fail. It's the opposite of what these successful states just referred to are doing.
Well, I hear you, but I'm not necessarily sure that all of that has happened. I mean, you mentioned inventory taxes. That wasn't a John Bel Edwards creation. The price of oil doesn't have the impact on state government that it once has. In fact, it's declined almost every year over the last two decades, right, Guy?
Yeah, we're not as oil dependent as we used to be. You know,
how has our economy performed in the last 5 or 6 years? I mean, is that Jindal's fault? That it's been one of the worst economies in the country? What do you ascribe that to?
Well, there's a whole host of different things. I mean, the fact of the matter is, let's just look at oil, not so much the price of oil, but most of the supply side and service industry to oil left us.
Yeah,
come on, man. Like Biden would say, come on, man. Let's just lower taxes and cut government, and we would be better off.
I'm not trying to defend John Bel Edwards, but the fact of the matter is that we have, and as Guy pointed out, I think in our state, we have some really fundamentally flawed issues that we have yet to stare down.
So
Let me tackle it
without jumping on the governor. And look, there's some room for improvement. I'm not saying
Absolutely.
That he did a great job, but our challenge is our population peaked in 2016, and we're actually declining. We're one of the few southern states that people are leaving. And one of the problems that we face is we've underinvested in education, particularly higher education. And if you
You've got to be kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding. Let me finish, and then it'll be your turn. Let's compare Austin and Baton Rouge. 30 years ago, there were very comparable cities. UT has a tremendous investment. A lot of those kids stayed in Austin, and Austin is now a booming city, and it's doing better than, not Baton Rouge, it's doing better than New Orleans because of investment in education. I think we've underinvested in education to our peril. Certainly, our tax situation is a mess. We're about in the middle, but we look very expensive. We're very complex. There's certainly room for improvement. We ought to simplify, and I would like to move to a zero income tax. I think that would help. We did take the first step on tort reform. That's important. Florida has the same sort of tort problems that we do, but they're managed to grow through them. So if I could wave a magic wand, I would get rid of the income tax. I'd invest more in higher education. I'd streamline and improve our tort system. And I think that would improve our state. So your turn.
And Guy, I think one of the biggest challenges that we've had is that it's difficult in Southeast, Southwest Louisiana, with the challenges that we have relative to storms and otherwise, what has stimulated our economy over the last decade and a half, more so than anything else, has been, you know, tragedies, you know, weather-related issues. You know, that's what's pumped a good portion of money into our economy.
Well, Katrina certainly did a lot economically for the state. It was a horrible, horrible tragedy. The rebuilding, and thank goodness the levees held, but it did get better.
Yeah. But it's still a challenge. I mean, and we have a lot of businesses that left here going north of the I-12, and then others that have just said, we're going to Mississippi, we're going to Texas, we don't face the issues that we have coming out of the Gulf. And so our distribution centers, you know, we should be a great hub for that with the amount of rail that we have, our interstate system, with the exception of the bridge in Baton Rouge. You know, we have a lot of positives that go, you know, that work in our favor. But the fact of the matter is that they can't be, you know, out of business in August and September evacuating for storms, whether the storm hits us or not. There's a cost to that that's significant. And, you know, we continue to see our port because there are other ports on the Gulf Coast that are more protected than ours, right? And we've lost a lot of the service side to the industry.
Yeah, and they've modernized at a faster rate than we have. We have the challenge that you do have to get up the Mississippi, so you have to dredge, and it's either a half day or a day of extra travel. So there, at one point, there had been the idea of an offshore port. There was a talk about a port in Plaquemine. Now there's talk about one in St. Bernard. It would be important for us to settle on one location and get that done because it is important for the region.
No, no doubt. All right, we got to get to another break. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. We're back with Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Guy, the Fed's going to be meeting next week, I believe, the 14th and the 15th. Can we expect that they're going to back off this transitory language relative to inflation and just call it a day and call it for what it is?
I think so. And they're giving a lot of smoke signals. And what Chairman Powell said is, we didn't mean that transitory means that it's going away soon. We just mean that it's not permanent. So that was the first signal. The other is inflation has increased at a faster rate than we had anticipated, and it looks to be more persistent. That's very hawkish for Chairman Powell. And what it did in the bond markets last week is pushed up the short-term rates and pushed the long-term rates down. And the implication is that they're going to speed up the end of asset purchases and finish it up by the end of March. The reason that's important is they've also said we're not going to increase rates until after asset purchases are finished. So if he's seeing a real inflation danger and he's thinking we have to increase rates next year in the first half, he's got to wrap up asset purchases by March. So I think that's where they're headed, and that's what making the markets a bit nervous, because when the Fed quits putting so much money into the economy, there could be a bit of a slowdown. Now, hopefully that'll be offset by the openings. And then you have Omicron. Well, maybe that's going to be a problem, although the classic other, on the other hand, it looks like Omicron borrowed some genetic material from the common cold, and the doctors in South Africa are saying, you know, it's just not, it's not that deadly. So it may spread like a cold does, but it doesn't seem to be that dangerous. So you got a lot of on the one hand and on the other hand, but it looks like asset purchases will be speeded up, and potentially the first rate increase will occur sometime in the late spring.
He may have been the only one that thought the juxtaposition to transitory was permanent. I don't know of any other economist that looked at it that way. Am I wrong?
No, and I mean, yeah, no normal person meant that. I think it was just the easiest way to get off the high dive.
Not that you're calling him abnormal, but just, you know, I mean, when I heard it, I was kind of, I don't know of anybody that thought inflation was going to be around permanently.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes you have to find a way to back off. When I was a little boy, we still had high dives in the swim pools.
Yeah.
And always somebody would get up there, and then they would get back off the high dive, and they'd climb back down. And they always tried to do it when no one was looking. But I think that's what he's doing.
No doubt, for sure. Guy Williams, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Have a great week.
Oh, you too. Good to be with you.
All righty, folks. That was Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. We will be right back after the break. We'll check in with Scoot, see what he's got going on today on a manic Monday. Stay with us. We are back. The Saints-sations no more. They're now known as the Saints Cheer Crew, K-R-E-W-E. Scoot joins us. What do we have coming up on Manic Monday?
Well, you know, I guess that's just a sign of the times, right? I guess the Saints-sations, it was just a little bit too, you know, suggestive, maybe. I don't know. But I'm okay with the Saints cheerleading crew. I'm okay with that.
You're not going to lose any sleep over?
No, I'm really not. And I don't make any less money, so that doesn't affect me either. Hey, we'll talk about the passing of Bob Dole. We'll talk about those parents in Michigan who have been arrested. So is this going to start a precedent of holding parents accountable for the crimes committed by their kids? And also, it was another violent weekend in New Orleans, and Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck are at it again. And this is 17 years after they broke up. This is a second time around for them. And Ben Affleck is really grateful. So have you ever had a second time around? Were you grateful or regretful? We'll talk about that, too.
All right, Scoot's up next, folks. Stay tuned. Hope you enjoyed the show today. We'll see you again in the morning. Have a great Monday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.